Right. Something more spiritual now. Thank you, Keith. And another announcement, we do have Brother Kemp Holden coming in a few weeks. I don't remember that Sunday date. Do you, Brother Keith? But anyway, I think it's in the bulletin, but check our calendar online, bcchoctaw.org. And Brother Kemp Holden is a good speaker, and so we like having him every year. Hey, I'm excited about this service today. Actually, it's been so fulfilling so far. It's been fantastic. I love that feeling and that assurity and that peace of and that love of just God's guidance, even through the praise and worship time and being open and practicing stepping out on faith on occasion and doing different things. That's wonderful. Today, I have a special message for you I'm very excited about. I want to start with these scriptures in Luke 4:1. Today's going to be kind of a teaching type of sermon, a little bit different, but it's going to be a lot of scripture. Luke 4:1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. Acts 10:38. And just so you know, I usually have note sheets that have the scriptures on them out in the foyer. You can also follow along on your Bible, YouVersion, YouVersion.com. We have a thing there. You can go look up Bethel Church Choctaw and look at our notes there. So for those that are watching online, you can get notes online as well. Acts 10:38. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and all Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. The Holy Spirit is very important. It's a necessity for us to reach the potential that God has for us in our lives. Your ministry, your life, your family, your job, your career, your potential is higher when we involve the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, we as Christians know that, especially in a church like this, we're charismatic, full gospel, so to speak, and so we talk about the Holy Spirit, but it's important that we never forget the relevancy of the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives. This world needs to be influenced by the power that we have on the inside of us. And I believe this world is desiring of that. I believe they want to be influenced by the power that we have inside of us. The Holy Spirit is that power, so I believe we're called to be a huge impact in our culture. Influence our culture because of the Holy Spirit and the power that we have inside of us. I've been instructed to teach today about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, specifically as it pertains to speaking in tongues. And first, I was instructed to learn about the baptism of the Holy Spirit as it pertains to speaking in tongues. And I'll tell you why. Sometimes, and I preach this to everybody, you've heard me say this before, I have to say it to myself sometimes, you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. You need to know what you believe and why you believe that way. And a lot of times when we deal with the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit, it's sometimes more comfortable to just kind of dodge that and not get too deep into that. Now let's kind of skirt that issue a little bit. But God's been teaching me that it's way too important for us just to skirt a little bit. So let's just dive into it. We got to get in there and look at this potential that we have within us, the Holy Spirit. So a few years ago, when I began to really study in this, I began to wonder if what I was raised to believe, you know, in my church culture was 100% accurate biblically, because I began to see some things that didn't exactly line up like I thought. And by the way, I'm not here to try to prove anything or any denomination or any belief wrong or incorrect. That's not the purpose. But if we understand, if we have a healthy and accurate understanding of the Holy Spirit and how He operates in our lives, it will give us greater freedom and power in that, okay? So that's my whole goal. So don't buck up against this if this sounds like teaching that you're not used to, because it's teaching like I'm not used to either. Are you nervous? Somebody said, yeah, me too, brother. Now, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the receiving of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe in speaking in tongues and all of the gifts. As a matter of fact, I speak in tongues. I pray in tongues. So I believe that. So there's no need to get too awfully upset yet. Okay? So there we go. So I begin to learn some things differently. As a matter of fact, it's kind of funny. I told the staff and our team this. As I begin to really study and get into the scriptures about the Holy Spirit, specifically as it pertains to speaking in tongues, I begin to learn some different things. And I'm like, God, this is great. This is wonderful. I mean, I love this. This is actually freeing. You know, but this is so different than the culture that I was raised in. I literally said the true story. I said this to God. I said, but I can't preach that here. And I felt God do this. You know that look that you get like, I felt God do that, and so I kind of laughed and said, I'm just joking, God. I'll preach it if you want. So it's different than what I was used to. So I want you to hold on, because we're going to separate opinion from Bible today. And I just want to preach the Bible to you, and it may be challenging. It was to me. And here's why I think that we need to understand this, because I think it could possibly, if taught incorrectly, could cause some damage and be maybe hurtful spiritually. If the infilling of the Holy Spirit requires an evidence of a specific nature, okay, and you don't experience that evidence, that specific evidence, and that instant manifestation of that specific gift, then you must have to believe that you didn't receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So let me reword that and say it again, because a lot of times I've known people, and I myself have thought this and believed this. Baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. If there's no evidence of speaking in tongues, you didn't get it. Right? Some of us have heard that. That's a dangerous philosophy, and here's why. If somebody comes up and wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit and we lay hands on them, God fill them with the Holy Spirit, and they don't speak in tongues, then they go away, they walk away from that experience feeling inferior. They didn't get it. God must not have wanted me to have the fullness of Himself. So now that person has mentally and spiritually limited themselves to the full potential that God has for them. They've limited themselves because I didn't get it. And it may be because my past is too broken. I've done too many bad things for too long. Like, I'm not going to be able to. I know God forgives me. Yes, that's great. Thank you. I get to go to heaven. But that's an extra step of probably forgiveness and grace that I haven't reached yet. I mean, obviously, because I didn't get it and I want it. I am not good enough. Do you see the feeling of inferiority that can happen when we don't display an instant manifestation of this gift? Okay? We don't treat salvation like that. if Judd comes up here and wants to be prayed for, and he says, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus for the first time, I want to be saved. And we have a prayer, and I pray for Judd, and I lead him through a sinner's prayer, and I step back, and I say, no, it didn't take. Do it again. And I'm looking for something, looking for physical evidence of something that I've just prayed for. We don't do that with salvation. We believe what the Bible says, and we go for it. When it comes to healing, and when we pray for people to be healed and we lay hands on people, Pastor Temple has taught us for years, you don't pull your faith off of that prayer when you pull your hands off of that person. Your faith continues on. Yeah, but I can see that they didn't get healed. That's not part of it. We sang the song today, Oceans. Our sight is our faith. Right? We're going to believe what the Word of God says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So the danger of believing that I have to experience a physical manifestation of a specific gift to receive the filling of the Holy Spirit, if you don't get that, you walk away and you're like, I didn't get it. And then you're limited spiritually in what you can do. If indeed the Bible teaches that, and we're going to see that it does. Okay? Everybody with me so far? All right. And the Holy Spirit is vital and necessary for us to do the influencing to our culture that we need to do. Now, some of you may have a perfectly good, healthy understanding of this, but I know that there are some people, I've talked to some people this week on all sides, they've experienced this. I talked to someone that said someone prayed for them, and they said, listen, we're not going to be stop praying for you until you receive the Holy Spirit, which means talking in tongues. Until you talk in tongues, we're going to stay here. I've been in services like that, like I've been involved in that type of prayer thing. We're not leaving until you speak in tongues, because I want to have a physical witness that you have just been filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is fun. So I started doing this study and this focused prayer about this because I wanted to understand it properly, because I wanted to be able to teach it properly, at least teach what the Bible says about it. So what does the Bible really say about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit and the receiving of the Holy Spirit? Now let's clear up some terminology first. We have received the Spirit, mainly New Testament. We have received the Spirit, you have baptism with the Spirit, and filled with the Spirit. Receiving of the Spirit, I believe, and I've preached about this a lot, that's when you're saved, the Spirit of God comes into you. And I've stated this many times. In John 7:39, but this he spoke of the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is when Jesus was still alive. So the plan is that we are to receive the Spirit. Romans 8:11, Paul writes, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead also will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And there's many scriptures that talk about that, but I believe and have taught that when we receive Jesus, when we become a Christian, at salvation, we receive the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And that's something that you can research on your own or watch some of the other teachings. But biblically speaking, after that, there seems to be another experience that takes place in a Christian's life that signifies a measure more. Okay? And more of an infilling of the Holy Spirit or a baptism of the Holy Spirit, more on top of what we already had. Now, I ask this question. So you mean we don't get it all at once? Like you're just going to give us a little bit and then we get some later? Exactly. Ephesians 1:13-14. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. The King James Version uses the term earnest of our inheritance. It comes from a Greek word, arabon. I think I put it up there. Arabon. The literal definition of arabon, a pledge, part of the purchase money or property given in advance as security for the rest. When you go and buy a car, you put down a down payment, and that gives them a little bit of faith that you're going to come back and give them more. That's what Paul talks about the Holy Spirit, sealed with a pledge. In other words, there's more to come. The filling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit happens after salvation. So there's salvation, we receive the Spirit. There's this second incident that happens, this experience. Here's an example. In John 20 and 21, this is when Jesus was praying with the disciples, and he says this. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Okay? Then later in Acts, they get more. Acts 2. And that's when we read about the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The same guys and others, but these guys were there. Okay? Two separate experiences. As Christians, we receive God's Spirit at salvation, and then we get more. So, now that we know there's another experience, I want to look at the terminology baptism of the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, I've wondered about this all my life because I'm a word guy, and I try to be real exact with my speech. Baptism, filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, God, what is it? What are we talking about here? So I just looked at all the instances of both. I want to talk about filled with the Holy Spirit more, and I want to focus on that because baptism, here's the deal about baptism with the Holy Spirit. It's used three times in the New Testament. Baptism with the Holy Spirit. Each time, and I think I have this up there, there's three occasions. Now, in all Gospels, it's listed when John the Baptist spoke of it. Same instance, but it's quoted in each Gospel. And he was relating it to the baptism with water as well. Jesus says it in Acts 1 through 5. 1 through 5. 1 and 5. And he kind of was saying the same thing as John. John said, "I baptize you with water, but he baptized you with the Holy Spirit." And Jesus said, "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." In Acts 11:16, Peter quotes Jesus and says, "And I remember the word of the Lord, how he used to say, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" So when Jesus said, "Not many days from now you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit," not many days from then was Acts 2 when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So I don't want to get into semantics of baptism and filled, so I won't bore you with all that. But what I do want to do, and here's what I did. I thought, let me find every specific incident in the New Testament where someone was filled with the Holy Spirit, and let's see what happens. Let's see what happened to them, okay? There are seven. The first one is when John's mother Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I will say this. The first mention to be filled with the Holy Spirit is John the Baptist. But we didn't really know exactly when John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit, Holy Spirit, except that we know that he was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. So as a baby inside the stomach, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke 1:15. "And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb." See, I told you. Now, we don't know exactly when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. I suspect it's when Mary came in and told him about baby Jesus, and it says the baby leaped in her womb. I suspect it was then, but we don't know that for sure, and he couldn't really respond to it anyway, so I'm going to leave that one out. The first instance then was Luke 1, 41 through 45, John the Baptist's mother Elizabeth. Now, I'm not going to read through all of these scriptures. We're just going to look at the instance and the result of that instance. Elizabeth, she began to prophesy, and she began to praise the Lord. The second instance is John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, in Luke 1:67. And when he was filled, it says this, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. So the result of that filling of the Holy Spirit was prophecy once again. The third time was in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, okay? And that's when they were all gathered up there, 120 of them, and there was a rushing mighty wind, and they had flames of fire on their head, and they began to speak in other tongues, and people around the town understood them in their own language. So the result of this one was other tongues. The fourth one is when Peter and John, in Acts 4:23, after they had been arrested by the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees, and they couldn't find anything really wrong with them, so they said, stop it and let him go. Stop preaching about this Jesus. Of course, they didn't do that. But they went back to their companions, it says, and reported all the chief priests and elders said to them. And then they were in one accord, and then they begin to pray. And later on in that chapter 4, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. So here's a group of people that was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness, which is exactly what they needed at that time. The fifth one is the conversion of Saul to Paul. You know, he went to the prophet Ananias after he was blinded at Damascus. And Jesus said, you know, what are you doing to me? And so he got blinded, fell off his donkey. He go and then told him to go to Ananias. He goes to Ananias in Acts 9, 17 through 19. Has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. He took food and was strengthened. So Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was healed, and then he ate lunch. Write that one down. The sixth time was at Peter preaching at Cornelius's house, and there's a bunch of Gentiles that got together, and this was after he had that dream about God said, you know, all of these things are good to eat, you don't have to be so specific now, and he was also telling them that all the people also now gets to be children of God, even the Gentiles. So he was in Acts 10, 44 through 46, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. So they were being filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit fell on them and they were speaking in tongues and exalting God. And then he retells the same story in Acts 11. So the result there was speaking in tongues and exalting God. The seventh example that we have is Paul at Ephesus when he went and he found these 12 disciples, and they said, they asked the disciples, have you guys heard about the Holy Spirit? And they said, no, we don't know what you're talking about. Let me show you. So anyway, they laid hands on them and they began to pray. It says, verse 6, 19, Acts 19, 6. And when Paul had laid his hands on him, the Holy Spirit came on them and they began speaking with other tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men. So the result there, they began to speak in tongues and they began to prophesy. Now, I have heard teaching about an eighth incident that I didn't put in here, and there's really no result of it anyway, so it wouldn't matter. But in Acts 8 is when Simon the magician wanted to buy the ability to pray for people for, so that they could be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Peter was laying hands on people. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And this guy, Simon, said, yeah, I want to do that. How much does that cost? So Peter got mad at him, but what he, you know, obviously we know that something was happening because this guy saw physically something happening. There was some type of manifestation going on with this guy when people got filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't know for sure what that is, and we shouldn't assume what that is. It could have been many of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's a gift of miracles. It could have been that. It could have been the gift of speaking in tongues or interpretation, words of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment of spirit, healing, the gifts of healing, right? It could have been all of these, speaking in tongues too. So something took place, but we don't know for sure what. So in reading these, out of the seven specific examples that we find in the New Testament of individuals being filled with the Holy Spirit after salvation, tongues happened three times, praise happens twice, prophecy happens twice, speak the word with God of God with boldness, and then one time they were healed. So obviously in looking at this, I begin to think that there doesn't seem to be one specific manifestation of a gift that needs to prove the authenticity of our infilling of the Holy Spirit, right? Now, the good thing is that doesn't diminish the Holy Spirit or the power of the Holy Spirit or our experience with the Holy Spirit. If anything, it should give us a freedom, because now we're not placing man faith. We're not placing experience. We're placing God faith on this experience. I'm using my faith that I have received the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit, and I'm not relying on what I see, what I hear, what I feel. And now God has an opportunity to work as he wants to work instead of us operating with what man expects. I'm a dreamer, and I can dream big, and I sometimes lie awake at night. Sometimes I just finally have to get out of bed because I start dreaming about what I would love for this service to look like. And you know what? God's got bigger dreams than I do. God can make things happen way better than I can in anything that I can come up with. Amen? Gifts of the Spirit, Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12. But to each one, the verse 7, 7 through 11, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now here we have this word. So, well, Jeff, what are you talking about? Is it going to be manifest or is it not? I believe that it is, but it doesn't have to be immediate. Just like salvation. If I pray for Judd to get saved and I don't step back and see if it took, but I know in my heart that there will be manifestation in Judd's life of the entrance of God in his life. I know for sure that I'm going to see things differently in Judd. There's going to be things that he's going to quit doing probably. And there's going to be things that he's going to start doing probably, right? So there's going to be manifestation. It's just like healing. I believe there's going to be manifestation. But I don't pull my faith off if I don't instantly see the manifestation. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I've been praying this scripture a lot, by the way. I want to see the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good in our lives. We saw it Wednesday. John and Stephen Kappelman, Pastor Steve, told me this story. And it's a fantastic story of how some lives were absolutely changed in Wednesday night service this last Wednesday. Manifestation of the Spirit of God for the common good. I want to see that in our lives. I want to see that in our church. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith. And then it goes on, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing spirits, various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. Distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. With this language and this wording, I don't perceive that everybody will get all or even one specific of these gifts. But let's continue on. 1 Corinthians 12 also. A lot of 1 Corinthians 12 is about the gifts of the Spirit. And 14, 1 Corinthians 14 is also about the gifts of the Spirit. So read in there if you get curious about all of this. 8 God-appointed positions in the church in 1 Corinthians 12 and 27 through 31. He's teaching about unity in the body of Christ, but yet we're all different. He says, now you are Christ's body and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administrations, kinds of tongues. And he says, all are not prophets, are they? Apostles, are they? All are not prophets. All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. Now again, what that does is it gives us a freedom. It relieves some pressure. When you come and you're prayed for and you desire the Holy Spirit, you don't have to be in church. You can be anywhere. The Holy Spirit, people were filled with the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands. People were filled with the Holy Spirit during a service, during a sermon. People were filled with the Holy Spirit in different times, so it doesn't have to be any particular way. That's what's great about Christianity. You're just going to have to get to know the author of the book. You're just going to have a personal relationship with God to really understand it all. So what I believe, that here's what I begin to learn, that this, not only should we not look for a specific evidential gift to believe in the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit, but I don't think it's a one and done type of situation. The feeling that I get when I read the scriptures, and this is my own opinion, just so you know, I'll share why, but the feeling that I get is that you receive the Holy Spirit when you get saved, and you get more of the Holy Spirit when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you get filled with the Holy Spirit again, and it's an ongoing process. And here's why I think this. Well, first off, I think this because, where is that scripture? Acts 13:52. The disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And do you remember the Ephesians 1:13 that we read earlier? The Spirit is given as a pledge of our inheritance. It's an earnest. You get part of it, and then you get a part more, and then you get a part more. And here's one of the reasons why I think this. If the thing that we house the Holy Spirit within us, our spirits, if the thing that we house the Holy Spirit with is a growing living entity, would not it make sense that to keep that entity full of something specific, it would need to have a continual filling of that something? Right? Because it's always growing, like our spirits are. I believe God gave me this analogy, and you may appreciate it. When I went to first grade in school, I was baptized with math. It's 1 + 1, 2 + 2, simple addition, subtraction, that's all I could handle. I hit second grade, and I was filled with more math. And I get into, you know, fractions or whatever comes next, division. I hit third grade, and I'm baptized, I'm filled with more math. Fourth grade, more math. You get what I'm saying. I'm baptized throughout all of school because there's always more to learn about math, and I believe it's the same way with the Holy Spirit, amen? Because if the vessel in which we house the Holy Spirit is a living, growing entity, if if it's to be filled with something, it would require continuous filling. But I want to leave you with this. We're getting close to the end, and then we're going to have prayer time, and people are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I want to leave you with this. I want to lead into something that I'm going to talk about next week. I told you that most of 1 Corinthians 12 is about the gifts of the Spirit. And then we talk about 1 Corinthians 14 when he talks about almost all prophecy and speaking in tongues in a church setting. And what's in between those chapters? 12 and 14. 13, thank you. I just wanted to see who was going to be the smart aleck. Chapter 13, which is the love chapter. At the very end of 12, I read the scripture. Not all's going to prophesy, are they? And then he ends with this, verse 31 in 1 Corinthians 12. But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you still a more excellent way. And I love that. Because what Paul's doing is here's, listen, the gifts are great, and the gifts are important. The gifts are vital. But I'm going to show you something more excellent, not a gift of the Spirit, but a fruit of the Spirit. And he spends this whole area talking about love. That's what's important. As a matter of fact, the first verse he says is, though I speak with the tongues of men and the tongues of angels, it profits nothing. Without love, it profits nothing. I'm but a tinkling cymbal and a clanging brass. Would you like for me to show you what that sounds like? Okay. Trust me, it's not a gift. So he goes from talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and he says, I'm still going to show you a more excellent way, and we get love. You know, I feel like I say this every Sunday. It always all boils down to that right there, love, agape love. But if we relieve... Oh, by the way, I'm going to be talking about our four words up here in the next couple of weeks. Love, learn, grow, go. I'm getting new revelation from God as to why he set it up that way. Love, learn, grow, go. So I'm really excited about it. And I think I call it foundations and coordinates because we build our Christian life on these words. And not only that, not only do we build on top of them, but they are the coordinates, the directions of which we should go. Okay? So I'll get into that next week. But back to the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. If we relieve the pressure, I'm going to ask Barbara and Alexa to come up and lead us in that song again. But if we relieve the pressure of a mandatory instant manifestation of a specific gift of the Spirit, to physically prove its existence in our lives, if we remove that pressure, then we free ourselves to experience what God really wants to do instead of what man expects. That's why it's important that we have a healthy understanding of being filled with the Spirit. I can be filled with the Spirit. You know what? I've been praying, God, fill me with the Spirit. I was last year, but I want to be filled with the Spirit again this year. I want to be full of the Spirit all the time. Because this world needs that influence in our life. And so what we're going to do, if you'll stand with me, we're going to go into prayer. If you'd like to be filled with the Spirit, whether you never have or you have and you want to be filled again, I want you to come forward today as we begin to sing and play. Would you come forward and we're going to pray for you to be healed. Not healed. We're going to pray for you to be filled with the Spirit. Now, manifestations may initially happen. It may be that you get filled with the Spirit and you're speaking in tongues immediately. I talked to one person a couple of weeks ago when they were filled with the Spirit. They received the gift of healings, and he said people around me began to be healed and to get healed. So there may be a manifestation of a gift in your life, but if you want to be filled with the Spirit, I want you to come up for prayer today. I'm just going to wait for a bit. I'm going to be filled with the Spirit. Of this is it doesn't have to be some kind of weird dramatic thing. It may look like that and it may not. The thing about it is my faith in the Word of God says that I have it and I have it. If I seek to be filled, I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to receive that power that I need on the inside of me. When I read that verse, greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. If I know I have received the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit from God and I'm filled with it, I can claim that verse as mine. Greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world.